Stay tuned after the show for a message from Nokia.
Overdose deaths have been rising during the coronavirus pandemic. They were rising before. You know, this is a public health crisis that was here before the pandemic, and it hasn't gone away. It's only getting worse, and it's a huge problem for the country. And I think that we'll only begin to see exactly how devastating these past few months have been on people struggling with addiction.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch, and today, Brianna Ely on an epidemic happening in the shadow of the coronavirus pandemic.
Thank you very much, Secretary Price, for your work to address the crisis of opioid, heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamines. It is a tremendous problem in our country, and we're going to get it taken care of as well as it can be taken care of.
So the Trump administration has made the opioid crisis a top priority.
Nobody is safe from this epidemic that threatens young and old, rich and poor, urban and rural communities. Everybody is threatened.
And so in 2018, we saw actually a historic decline in overdose deaths, and that was a big deal. It was the first time that we saw a drop in fatal overdoses in nearly 30 years. And this was after historic investments from Congress and the Trump administration, totaling more than $20 billion government-wide to states, and this is for law enforcement efforts as well as for treatment and addiction efforts.
So in 2018, opioid deaths are down. What happens next?
In 2019, we're starting to see that overdose deaths actually swung back up. And so we have this coronavirus pandemic that clearly has been exacerbating the problem, but we were starting to already see an uptick in overdose deaths. And now we're seeing a rise on top of that. So we're sort of reversing a lot of the progress that we had made in the last 3 years.
Well, how bad has the uptick in overdose deaths been during the pandemic?
So we're actually just starting to get national data in, just snapshots of national data. And the White House released a report last week showing an 11% increase nationally. Now, these numbers are not complete because not every state submits data, but it kind of gives us an idea of we are seeing an uptick in deaths. Especially in some states that are getting hit more than others. So in Kentucky, we have exclusive reporting data from Kentucky showing a 25% increase between January 2020 and March 2020, and they expect those numbers to continue to climb. So it's a pretty grim picture right now.
Do we know why during coronavirus there have been more overdoses?
Well, historically, emergency situations can cause a lot of stress. We saw an uptick in overdose deaths after the financial crisis in 2008. We know that stressful situations, social isolation, and these lockdowns, which kind of can limit access to treatment, does tend to exacerbate addiction and mental health issues. And so officials we talked to in February and March were fully expecting, you know, a swing back in the direction of increasing deaths. And now we're just starting to really see that play out. And they expect these deaths to climb.
What has the pandemic meant for the treatment centers and addiction service providers caring for people struggling with addiction right now?
So we know that the majority of behavioral health treatment, so mental health and addiction treatment, have moved largely to telehealth services. And this can be a very good thing for people. The federal government, one of the major steps that they took to address behavioral issues during the pandemic was waiving federal restrictions on telehealth for behavioral treatment, including prescribing buprenorphine, opioid addiction medication. And so this was a positive. The problem is there are some unintended consequences that come with that. Not everyone has access to technology. Not everyone, has great outcomes associated with behavioral health treatment because what a lot of addiction providers will tell you is that social gathering and counseling in person and sort of having a routine and meeting with people and feeling included is kind of a big part of recovery. And so that can be challenging when you when you're doing it from a distance.
So you have a situation where people might be cut off from the care they need to avoid a crisis.
Exactly.
You mentioned that the opioid epidemic has been a big priority of President Trump and his administration. Where has the White House been on this during the pandemic? Is it still a priority?
So we haven't seen the president on this issue as much as he has been in the past 3 years. We're used to President Trump going across the country talking about this issue since it was a big part of his campaign in 2016. It appealed to his base. There were states like West Virginia where the opioid crisis was a huge, huge problem. And so this was a big initiative for President Trump. But since the coronavirus hit, it's pretty much been coronavirus all the time. And that's not just the Trump administration. State and local health departments will tell you, too, that they've been so swamped responding to the pandemic that they've had to actually put on hold some of their work on drug addiction and other public health initiatives. So this is a national problem that we're seeing, is that obviously they have to respond to this emergency, but there's only so much bandwidth and manpower, especially in some of these local health departments where they're having to put a lot of this work on hold. And the result is, you know, we're seeing an uptick in deaths and addiction. And, you know, we're just kind of starting to see sort of what happened in the past 4 months when states were locked down. So we'll see. We'll get a better picture as data comes out.
Well, is this how it has to be? All this attention and resources going to the coronavirus pandemic to the detriment of fighting the opioid epidemic? Like, is this a necessity that comes along with any global health crisis? Or is this a function of this presidential administration or the healthcare system we have here in the U.S.?
I think it's definitely part of the healthcare system that we have in the U.S. When you talk to public health experts, and public health officials acknowledge this too, is we're kind of governing by emergency. So when the opioid crisis was the one big emergency that we had to deal with, all of the resources were going to that. And now we're moving on to the next emergency, which is the coronavirus pandemic. And so I think it is just kind of a product of the system that we have. And for the opioid crisis, a lot of the work that had been done in the past few years and investments were sort of playing catch up. They were, you know, billions of dollars going to states to build infrastructure for a behavioral health system that we didn't really have. So it was just kind of a lot of playing catch up. And now we're swamped with the coronavirus, and a lot of that work has been put on hold. And so we're maybe back to square one. We'll see.
What happens if this isn't addressed in the coming weeks or months?
I think we're going to continue to see numbers increase, and not just deaths. I've been talking a lot about overdose deaths, but we also need to talk about people that are struggling with addiction and mental health issues. They're going without treatment, especially the vulnerable population that I mentioned that might not have access to technology to utilize the telehealth medicine that has been sort of replacing outpatient care. So I think we're going to see an increase in deaths, an increase in untreated addiction, unfortunately, more increases in suicides and mental health issues going forward. And this is not just my opinion. This is what the federal officials in charge of these issues are saying, that they do expect that to happen.
Well, what do experts say is the fix here? What steps can be taken to fight this?
Well, behavioral health providers have been clamoring for an infusion of funds because a lot of these places have had to close down their clinics and different things. So they want more money to actually be able to serve their populations that are vulnerable and can't access these services. So I think funding is a big thing. There's sort of been issues with that, though, because Congress passed a healthcare provider bailout fund, but a lot of these providers who specifically kind of focus on the Medicaid population and more vulnerable populations aren't getting the funding that they say that their services require. So a lot of that is held up. And I think just just sort of being able to address both the coronavirus pandemic and these issues at the same time instead of just focusing on one or the other. NIDA director Nora Volkov, she runs the federal agency that's in charge of researching addiction treatments. You know, she says it's imperative that the federal government pays attention to this issue and doesn't just kind of put it on the back burner for whenever we get a vaccine for the coronavirus and then come back to this. We need to be addressing multiple things at once here.
Brianna Ely, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Also today,
we all want this to be over. We all want to get on with our lives. But the hard reality is, this is not even close to being over.
The World Health Organization is warning that the worst in the coronavirus pandemic is yet to come. In a virtual news conference on Monday, WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said while many countries have made progress fighting the spread of the virus, globally, the pandemic is actually speeding up.
The critical question that all countries will face in the coming months is how to live with this virus. That is the new normal.
Tedros warned that countries that have lifted restrictions and reopened parts of their economies amid the pandemic have seen a resurgence of cases. Among them is the United States. And China has approved a contentious national security law that'll let authorities crack down on subversive and secessionist activity in Hong Kong. The measure, which comes after widespread pro-democracy protests last year, was approved today. It comes amid warnings across the international community, including from the U.S., which on Monday, before the measure was passed, decided to halt exports of U.S. origin defense equipment to Hong Kong, with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying, quote, "The Chinese Communist Party's decision to eviscerate Hong Kong's freedoms has forced the Trump administration to reevaluate its policies." Critics say the new measure marks the most significant erosion to date of Hong Kong's independent legal system and a bold attempt to erase boundaries between the semi-autonomous territory and mainland China's authoritarian Communist Party system. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts and check out some of our other shows like Pulse Check, Women Rule, Nerdcast, and Politico Energy. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.
We are in an era of discovery where today's tech breakthroughs keep our country strong for the future. As a leader in American innovation, Nokia helps drive 5G and push progress for our nation. Powered by the iconic Nokia Bell Labs, Nokia continues to accelerate the future of U.S. connectivity by delivering solutions both from and for America. Learn more at Nokia.com/opentomore.